This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center at NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we praise Him, we glorify Him. Beseech Him to send His choicest salutations upon His most beloved, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who choose to tread in His path until the last day. Alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in a most auspicious moment where it is not just the unique barakah of the day of Jum'ah, the blessed day of Friday, may Allah make it a means of benefit for all of us, and through it, give each one of us deep increase in all that is good and pleasing to Him. But we also find ourselves within blessed days of the month of Muharram. May Allah make us from amongst those who benefit from these days. And within the recognition of the days that we find ourselves in here, of this blessed day of Friday and these blessed days of Muharram, we want to utilize the opportunity to draw meaning and take lesson from them as best as we can. And to recognize that within them there is ample opportunity for growth and gain if we simply enable ourselves to be those who understand that the lessons that can be taken are there for all of us subjectively. That there's many stories that likely we know that are attached to these days of Muharram. In a hadith that we have learned that speak to us about their virtues and the gains and benefit that come from within them. But as we move forward and Allah gives us days like these to come to over and over and over again, the idea is to not relive them the way that we lived them the year prior, or prior to that, or prior to that, but these days should yield different things for us, even if they are the same, quote unquote, or attached to the same stories and the same experiences and the same narrations and the same hadith. They should be different because we should now be different. And how we engage them and take from them should also render difference as well. There's a beautiful narration that gives to us a very vivid description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he is taken from his home to the city of Jerusalem and then taken into the very heavens by the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam. That he prays in Al-Quds with all of the prophets, leads them in prayer. And you can go and see where his blessed foot took the first step in the journey in that ascension to Jannah, still there in Jerusalem. And may Allah make us a generation that is able to witness a free Palestine. And when we move forward and understand that in that majestic journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sown so many unique things. He meets luminaries in terms of the righteous servants of God. And where and how we understand in one particular part of the vivid description of this journey, the Prophet, he speaks about a fragrance that he smells. And he asks Jibra'il alayhi salam, that what is this fragrance? And he's not given an indication that it is a fragrance of any of the anbiya of Allah, the messengers, the prophets of God. When the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asks, the answer that he receives is that this is the fragrance of the hairdresser of Fir'aun's daughter, the daughter of Pharaoh. And as the explanation is given within the narration, that she was once combing the hair of Fir'aun's daughter when the comb slips from her hand and falls onto the ground. And she says, Bismillah, in response to it. And Fir'aun's daughter says, Bismillah, are you invoking my father, meaning Pharaoh? And she says, no, I am invoking my Lord and the Lord of your father, Allah. And the daughter says that I will tell him this thing that you are saying. And she says, then say it. And when she engages Fir'aun now and she stays true to her conviction, she finds herself in a place of recognition that her conviction brings her to a place of torture. The Fir'aun says to fill up a bakara, literally a cow, but really a mold of steel with boiling water, and she has her children with her, and one by one she witnesses the children pass. And then where she hesitates, the youngest child tells her to continue going forward because she is on a path of truth, a path of conviction. And so she goes in, and this woman that nobody really knows anything else about, in this majestic journey of Isra and Miraj, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is surrounded by the messengers of God and engages in conversation with the likes of Musa alayhi salam and so many others, speaks to Allah himself and is given the gift of prayer. So too of the bounties is this fragrance that he smells of this woman who simply bore witness to what she upheld as real values and real ethics. And we find this is a lesson that permeates this month of Muharram. That within the prophetic tradition, you have narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives indication to those of us who follow a Sunni tradition of Islam that we should fast on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, where he comes upon sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people of the Bani Israel fasting, and when he is asked as to why they are fasting, he is told that these are people who are fasting in commemoration of the exodus of their people, the victory of Musa alaihi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells them that we as the Ummah of Muhammad, we have more right over Musa alaihi salam than they do, and that we too will fast on that day. And he says that if I am to see the coming year, I will also fast the day prior to it. And we know as well that within the tragic understandings of this month of Muharram are the unfortunate realities of the massacre of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family members, culminating in on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, the murder of Hussein radiallahu an, the grandson of the Messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who following the caliphate of Muawiyah, the dynastic model of governance that starts to interject itself within the Muslim community, passes authority on to a man by the name of Yazid, who is not qualified in any way to take that control. Known to us within our text as an individual who was an avid drinker of alcohol, that he would dress up monkeys for his entertainment and so many other things. And when Imam Hussein alayhi salam moves to the place of Kufa to establish for himself a space in a city, and the Kufans, they pledge allegiance to him, and the armies of Yazid come, and the Kufans, they then retract, saying that our hearts are with you, but our swords are not with you. And with 72 individuals, he goes to meet this army. And as the days pass, the massacre ensues, and so many lives are taken. And on that 10th day of Muharram, the blessed grandson of the Messenger of God, a young boy whose own blessings and ni'mah incorporate the touch, the kiss of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon his being. A young boy who was named by the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who would rejoice when he saw his grandson coming to him and would make dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, love him as I love him. Who he said to us that he is of the masters of the Shabab of Jannah, that he was a young boy who had such of a vivality and such a vitality and such courage that they took the life of the son of the Messenger of God on that tragic incident on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. And not as a side, but as an imperative to understand that in these days of Muharram, the recognition of that narrative of Karbala should not escape any one of us. Because there is no Muslim, whether they are Sunni or Shia, who says that the tragedy of Karbala was not a tragedy and an atrocity, but all Muslims say that it is. And many Sunni Muslims deprive themselves of the blessings and benefit that can come to us through the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet of God, the likes of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatima Zahra, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of the Messenger of God, who of her many names is called Abiha, the mother of her father. They said she resembled him more than any of the other companions. And a deprivation comes in through geopolitical realities that then impact the way lessons are taught and narratives are disposed upon us. Rooted to validate sectarian violences that in and of themselves are atrocious and should never be validated. But also deprive many of us who adhere to a Sunni methodology of Islam from taking from the lessons of the family of the Prophet of God, because our own lack of literacy tells us internally that perhaps these are not things that we are meant to take from, and that is the farthest thing from the truth. But what you find within the juxtaposition of the story of Musa alayhi salam and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the same idea of bearing witness and recognizing what it means to actually be someone who is shaheed. And their ability to stand for what they believe in and to stand on it with real sense of fortitude and courage, what we call istiqamah, first necessitates them knowing what it is that they hold as values and beliefs to begin with, and to not let it go or to undermine in any capacity, but to bear a deep recognition that their standing is upon something, that their bearing witness is upon something, it is to something that is not mindless, it does not just flow in any direction, that they are blown in by winds of the majority or those who come from privileged backgrounds. But within the confines of their reality, they know how to stand because they know what it is that makes them stand. And you see that they are taking on and bearing that witness by holding on to what is true beyond the relativeness of what is goodness, and not letting themselves be in a space where they let it go for anything. But they know what their lives are worth living for, because they know what it is worth for them to give their life up for as well, and what it is that they will allow for themselves to be taken from this world upon. The shaheed, they have a most unique circumstance, and that from the first blow, it is said they are shown their place in Jannah, and that they are felt no pain or no harm after it. And to understand for us that there is deep wisdom and blessing and benefit to be derived from the notion that the recommendation of these sanctified days of Muharram incorporate for within some of us the idea of fasting? That you leave behind that which is purely physical and external, materialistic, what is dunyawi, and you embrace the notion that says in the prophetic tradition, لَيْسَ الْغِنَا كَثْرَةَ الْعَرَضُ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَا غِنَا النَّفْسِ, that true richness is not having an abundance of things from the earth, but true richness is having a richness of your soul. And you start to ponder, you start to reflect, you start to think about what it is that drives you and motivates you. And for so many of us, we do this not in a vacuum, but in the backdrop of global pandemic, that for those of us who are in the United States, we do it in the midst of an election cycle where we see people who are pulled in all different directions as they worship a political machine that seeks to enable those, again, who come from a majority privileged background to regain and hold as much power as they can without having to give too much of it away to those who come from minority backgrounds. And you think about what it is that you see surrounding you and what it means, not just in terms of what we identify materialistic success to be, but in terms of real success, otherworldly success, success in the frame of the akhirah. You think about where and how within the course of your deeds, your decisions, your actions, your choices, that you understand how this applies to you in the given context, and what your identities are made of, what it means to find real meaning and real purpose. And it does not necessitate a complete abandonment of anything that we surround ourselves with, but to have an aspiration to not just see these things simply as stories, but lived realities, that there were people who understood what real beauty and real goodness was, and they were not swayed by false fulfillment in any capacity. And we have the blessing, the ni'ma, of having these as being people who are our teachers, giving us instruction on where and how it is we want to move forward in the times that we are allocated and allotted within this dunya. There's a paradox within us as humans that we can simply reflect upon, that Allah alludes to, that these days of Muharram give us a very, very great example of, an illustration of. That in Surah At-Teen, we have the verse, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that we have made man in the most beautiful of forms. And it gives us what our natural fitri state is, our default way of being. We are meant to be people who are hasin in our nature. Hasin, individuals who aspire towards inward and outward beauty. But the very following verse is what interjects the paradox. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, and then we let them fall to the lowest of the low. That we have both capacity to be agents of real beauty, but also this same vehicle, this same vessel, this same human has potential and capacity to be an agent of real ugliness, real wrong. May Allah protect us from it and make us only from amongst those who bring benefit and goodness to His creation and to ourselves. The assessment now is not one that has to be reductive in any way, but your introspection also does not need to be self-deprecating. What it can be, though, is productive. As you recognize that the competition that you find yourself in is not with you versus everyone around you, nor is it even you versus yourself. It's just to root your mindset in a growth capacity that says that I want to be a person today who aspires to become the best version of myself tomorrow. And what it is that will allow for me to fall into that frame is not going to be labels and titles that I cannot take with me anywhere. Or to understand legacy is something that I simply leave behind. But amongst the trillions of people that have walked on this earth whose names none of us even know, their legacies are rooted not in what it is that they leave necessarily alone, but what it is that they really can take with them. And you want to fill your accounts with actions of real goodness, decisions that are rooted in ethics and principles and values and ideals. You don't want to meet your Lord on a stomach that was gluttonous, or a lust that was never satiated, a greed that sought to just keep taking more and more and more, regardless of who it was that you were taking from. But you want to be able to stand in front of your Lord, saying that, Ya Rab, I fulfilled the purpose that you had intended me for. That I looked to see who it was that I would follow the example of out there. And I would not let the sacrifices of those who came before me be in vain. Chasing after validation of a people who only accept me for who I am when I become that which it is that I am not. But allowing for my sense of direction to be governed by what it is that's most pleasing to you. You are looking to see where and how you can gain from these days and nights of Muharram. I would say first and foremost, acquaint yourself with the stories of the tragedy of Karbala. Learn and listen, not just rotely to regurgitate and memorize alone, but to understand and engage in real insight on what this massacre really stands for. That the grandson of the Messenger of God, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon both of them, he would not let darkness prevail, and he stood with conviction to ensure that forever a commitment to light in the face of darkness would always be upheld. Understand who he is, who his family is, who his grandfather is, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then say, is this who I really take as my teacher? And am I not just simply following the mechanics, but letting them be a means to growth that gives me insight internally as to what I aspire towards? And each one of us, regardless of our background, our age, our profession, our race, our culture, our class, our gender, whatever it is that we are and makes us who we are, we can benefit from wisdom. And there is so much within the teachings and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessed family. Two, if you have the capacity to fast, you should fast. That there are narrations that say within the Sunni tradition that these first 10 days are days that one should fast. Some of our teachers tell us hadith that a fast in the days of Muharram is equivalent to fasting 30 days. But the recommendation is there to commemorate what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw as, again, the victory of Musa alayhi salam, which was not the exodus in and of itself. Because even if the Bani Israel had not been freed, Moses still shows victory by bearing witness to what it is that is true, that he doesn't let go. He holds fast to it. He stays strong upon it. That the woman whose story I told you in the beginning, the hairdresser of Fir'aun's daughter, she does not win in the sense that we understand winning to be. A formulaic process of success that says that I am reared and I go to school and perhaps I go to university and then get an advanced degree and then I get married and I have children and I have a house and I have a home. Everything doesn't fit into those neat boxes. And real success is not rooted within our tradition, simply in that type of formulaic pattern. But these were people of victory, people who had success, because they governed their lives with hearts that were alive and awake. They knew what they believed in, and they allowed for that belief to find itself in their decisions and actions and choices. And so if you can fast on the 10th of Muharram, fast on the 10th of Muharram. If you can fast the day prior to it, then fast the day prior to it, or couple it with another day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that he would have done as well. And where you can fast other days, if you have the physical means to do so, then you should. The giving of charity in these days are important. To make dua and pray in these days and nights are important. To ensure that you are increasing in your level of consciousness, your taqwa, that you are not simply a vessel that is feeding itself physically and externally, but you are looking at your inward. And you are allowing for that to be what catalyzes you through your remaining days in this dunya. And I would utilize the opportunity to just think as well, not in a morbid sense, because this is not a deen that teaches us to be afraid of mortality the way a supremacist society teaches us to pretend as if mortality is not something that is an intrinsic part of being human, where it puts the elderly into homes far away so that they can't be seen because they don't know how to deal with getting older and growing. It is simply your body that is getting older. The soul, it stays in a state that when you are a person of Jannah, may Allah make us all people of paradise, you are going to be in a place of Jannah, we are taught, in the most prime age of your existence. That weariness and tiredness and all of these things, these are products of the nafs, they are products of the soul, of the ego. But you want to allow for yourself to be introspective and say, what kind of state perhaps would it be that I would leave this world upon? But the hadith that says, "Man mata ala shay bu'ithat alay," that whosoever dies upon a thing is resurrected upon that thing. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he shows us how he leaves this world on beauty, in a state where he holds true to his convictions and ideals, not letting them go. So too, you and I, we can make a determination to adopt that kind of mindset as well. So before we make dua, I would ask you all to take a moment to just reflect on what do you want to take from these days and nights of Muharram? To expose yourself to narrative that perhaps that you have let yourself be deprived of. To gain and understand with a deep recognition of what it is that you are hoping to grow through these days with. How you connect to the family of the Messenger of God. How you live the tradition that is a living tradition, 14 centuries strong. And then embrace the blessing that you are a part of it within the context of how it is that you meet this world and everything that it is that is throwing at you. But if you were to assess just in this moment what this day, this week, these last months, these last years of your existence have borne witness to, what would you, your life itself, claim that it upholds as deep values and ideals? In these nights of Muharram, our Islamic Center is still hosting virtual programs as we normally would. Sheikh Fayaz Jaffer, who many of you know, is leading a nightly Muharram Majlis program as per the Shia tradition of Islam that is being done virtually, that all of you can join in and participate on. And you can find more information about that on our website, icnyu.org. We are continuing all of our other programs. Immediately after this, Sheikh Aisha Prime will be doing her regular halakha on the Arba'een of Imam Nawawi, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. On Tuesday night, Sheikh Suhaib Webb is doing his weekly halakha. Sheikh Aisha on Wednesday nights does one, and Dr. Ali Murmur on Mondays, and every night for some time, Sheikh Fayaz will, until he returns to his regular Thursday night program. We'll be continuing with this virtual Jummah reflection as well. We sent out a notice to survey the community to see where people are at these days and what kind of interest there would be in hosting small, controlled outdoor programs while the weather is still good. If you haven't filled that out, please do so, so that we can make decisions together off of real data, not just what we think or what we feel. Our approach as those who serve this community is to not simply do what anecdotally we think makes sense, but to base it off of real input and real data and analysis. And so we want to hear from you and know what it is that you would be interested in doing. And lastly, I would ask that where you can, please support the Islamic Center. All of our programs are done purely based off of the contributions of our community. And alhamdulillah, we've been able to do a lot to serve others in these last few months. And for us to continue to do what we do need your support. And so whatever you can give, inshallah ta'ala, would be appreciated and be a means of benefit for so many. And so as we make dua, I would ask that you all join me in just taking a moment to recenter yourself, inshallah ta'ala, leaving the distractions behind and enabling us to take full advantage of these days of Muharram and the barakah that they offer to us, especially on this day of Friday. So push out any distractions and allow for yourself to be as present as possible, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, as we turn to Allah in dua and ask of Him to give us even better than what it is that we are beseeching Him for. اللهم آمين اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لوجهك وعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد حمدا طاهرا طيبا مباركا فيه لا يوم الدين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين We begin this supplication in your name, Ya Allah, beseech you to send your choicest salutations upon your most beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We ask that you shower your infinite mercy upon this gathering, granting each and every one who is present herein and our loved ones only the best in this world and the best in the next. We ask, Ya Allah, that if all of us are meant to be together only at this time, at this place, whether we are young or old, male or female, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our social class, our country of origin, our cultural heritage, whether we are Muslim or come from a different walk of life, Ya Rabbi, if our individual hearts are meant to be in the presence of all of their hearts that are gathered here only at this time, at this place, then gather us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. Increase us, Ya Allah, in all that is good. Increase us in courage, compassion, and confidence. Protect us from any affliction, anxiety, or anguish. Remove from our hearts any feelings of bitterness, jealousy, animosity, or envy towards any of your creation. Grant us hearts that are filled with understanding and love, hearts that are drawn towards that which is good and beautiful. Hearts that find themselves in a true state of sakina, real rest, through your remembrance. For indeed, in your remembrance do hearts find rest. Make us from amongst those, Ya Allah, who bring benefit to your creation, and help us to find the presence of what is pleasing to you in all of our deeds and decisions. Make us those who are bold enough to ask of you to be those who only do that which is good, and courageous enough to ask of you to remove from our pathways anything that distracts us from your pleasure. Make us from amongst those, Ya Allah, who learn and benefit from the lessons that this month of Muharram is meant to impart upon us. And accept from us all of our ibadah, our worship, our actions undertaken within these days. Make us those, Ya Allah, who build a deep love for your messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as his entire family. Peace and blessings be upon all of them. and enable us to take from their wisdoms the pearls that they have left behind for us and for our benefit. Help us, Ya Allah, to overcome whatever it is that is in our hearts that keeps us from embracing the examples that they left behind for us. Make us those, Ya Allah, who remember always who our teacher is. Peace and blessings be upon him. And to take his example as a means through which we carry forward our days in this dunya. Let not any one of us end this blessed day of Jum'ah that is upon us without first doing something good and beneficial for someone else. And make us those who see, take advantage of, and are granted the tawfiq to embrace every opening that you send to us for our benefit. Protect us always from hearts that are not humble, tongues that are not wise, and eyes that have forgotten how to cry. Forgive us for our shortcomings and guide and bless us all. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you all so much for being here with us. I do have one special dua request from a sister in our community. Her name is Sabroni Haq. Many of you might know her. Her father passed away recently. We were asked to keep him in our du'as. Please make du'a for his maghfirah, that Allah grants him peace in the grave and entrance into Jannah without any judgment. And he gives both father, daughter, and all of their loved ones the best of reunions in the world beyond this one. But where you can remember them in your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated. Inshallah, I hope you all are keeping well. Wallahu ta'ala alam wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.